Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. For the next hour, we're going to talk about the Smile Train Initiative. In studio, we are so lucky tonight to have Wayne Baker Brooks, Nicholas Tremulous, Sergio Mayora. Look at that, all that applause. And Ellen Harris, Director of Development for the U.S. Central Region of Smile Train. But on the phone, I really wanted to set this up with my friend. I've been seeing him a lot at Wrigley Field. Graham Elliott, are you there? Chef Graham?
Yep, I'm here.
Thank you so much for joining us. I've been following you around this week. I saw you throw out the first pitch today at Wrigley.
I did, indeed.
And you had the little, you have the little pop-up restaurant there. That's right behind our seats. Is tomorrow the last day for the restaurant there?
Yes, exactly. So through the Braves stay here, and that's it.
How's that been going for you, the restaurant?
It's been going great. Yeah. People love it, and, you know, any excuse to hang out at the ballpark for me is it's a win-win.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us. I wanted to get the story set up before we go into the music. So tell me about how you got involved with Smile Train.
Yeah, so my son Conrad was born with a bilateral cleft lip. So, you know, we were looking for answers and help and obviously scared, not knowing what to expect. And, you know, Smile Train helped out a lot. So we've been fans of theirs and wanted to help however we could. So we're trying to get the word out, you know, for the World Smile Day Chicago celebration. And, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Now explain what is a bilateral cleft lip, and when? How long ago was that? When was he born? When's his birthday?
So his birthday is actually going to be coming up here in a couple weeks. So this was 7 years ago, and with the bilateral cleft, it's basically through the lips, so they don't fully join together. So almost underneath the nostrils, you'll have those two lines going down, and it didn't go far back enough to where it would be a cleft palate, which, you know, obviously comes with a greater need when it comes to surgeries and follow-ups and things like that. So, you know, we're pretty pretty lucky in that case.
What did you learn about? I mean, what were some of the key points you learned about this as this journey began for you? And I understand, I know you went to Mexico City to learn more about it, but what was the learning process like for you and your wife and for your son?
Yeah, it's been interesting because, you know, my wife, Allie, went kind of, you know, head first into everything and wanting to learn and help out and make sure Conrad knows, you know, we would call this his special lip. So there was surgery involved. There was, you know, things like follow-ups and dental orthodontia that's going to be coming down the road. Now that's what we're waiting for these molars to come in and things like that. And, you know, then we'll know more about what the next step is. And but when, you know, a couple of years ago, we had a chance to get up with Smile Train and get together and head down to Mexico City, like you mentioned, and see what they do every step of the way. You know, they get the doctors involved, they get the speech pathologists, everybody in the town, you know, together, so that when you realize someone that has a cleft, they come in, they Smile Train doesn't just go and provide, you know, the surgery and take off, which, you know, that's an amazing thing also to do, but they have that idea where you teach a person to fish, you know, and they're set up for life, so they kind of help create this center where somebody that has a cleft can kind of go get fixed up, and then you know, all the other steps that come after that, be involved with it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that you'd said that it, and Ellen, maybe you can jump in on this too, that it doesn't go away after surgery. I mean, there's orthodontic work, there's speech therapy. It's just not a surgical procedure, right? Things continue.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hi, Graham. Thanks for being on, helping us.
Sure.
And it goes down to the teachers, the doctors, the supporting staff. There's a whole, like you said, there's a whole loop of people that get involved with this.
Yeah, Smile Train is an international, the largest international children's charity providing free cleft surgeries and comprehensive cleft care around the world. We're in 85 plus countries, and like Graham said, it's we we developed a sustainable model where we're actually teaching surgeons and cleft teams around the world how to care for their own communities. So we don't do missions. We are there 365 days a year because there's oftentimes lots of follow-up work that has to take place. The medical protocol is the initial surgeries between 3 and 6 months of age, and then there's a lot of other care as a child grows with orthodontia, speech therapy, audiologists, all kinds of things that are needed. So our model is one where we're empowering the communities to take care of their own people.
Graham, it was interesting. I thought in some of the notes I was reading, you said one of the biggest challenges was to get him to feed and eat and stuff. It's interesting in your world as a chef. What was that like?
You know, well, what's funny is that was at the beginning, I think, when it came to latching and, you know, breastfeeding. But once that was, you know, good to go, there hasn't been any issues with Conrad eating other food. He's like in the 99th percentile. He's a big dude. So
how old is he? How old is he now?
He's turning seven in like 2 weeks.
Okay.
But you know, luckily as a chef, you know, I'm pretty excited that he will try everything.
Does he like those? I had the fried chicken biscuit at the ballpark. Does he like those? That's very good.
Oh yeah. I posted a picture this evening of him, like, you know, diving into one. So.
So you've been really, really. How'd you find Smile Train, or did they find you, Graham?
No, I think my wife Allie. I'm not sure exactly who had put her in touch with them, but she, you know, found them out, and then she had a good relationship with Troy Reinhardt, who works with the organization, and they've you know, been going back and forth for a couple of years now, and so that's, you know, how we've really been really staying in contact, you know, with the organization. And like I said, helping out however we can. You know, at the end of the day, I know how to cook. I do some TV stuff, go and do events here and there. So if there's any way to lend that skill set to this organization, then, you know, we jump at it.
Definitely.
And you will be at the event. This is what we're going to talk about in the next segment. World Smile Day. October 6th from 4 to 7 p.m. Here in Chicago at 2 North Riverside Plaza. That's quiet. We got Billy Branch. We got Wayne Baker Brooks, Rich Jones, Sergio Mayorga, Nelly Tiger Travis, Nicholas Tremulous. And you'll be there, Graham?
Yeah, I should be there. I have an event the next day as well that's out of town. So I think I might be here that day. And obviously, you know, I will be there.
What else is going on before we let you go? What else? I know you've got a children's book coming. I mean, tell us about some of your other projects.
Yeah, we're looking to do a kid's book right now. You know, I put out my own cookbook, I guess, almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. And after doing these kids' cooking shows, you know, realized that you know, there's a lot of people out there that would love to know how to cook and get their kids to know how to cook as well. So I'd like to jump into that. Our restaurant on Randolph is being redone, and that'll open in October as a completely new establishment. And also opening something over in Macau in China in November.
Wow. What's that like? Tell us a little bit about that. What you can tell us.
It's great. It's a 16-hour flight and then an hour ferry. It's a long way, but once you're there, you know, it's amazing. The culture and the fact that, you know, you've got that international feel, but also the Portuguese, you know, had settled there. So it's got the history to it and the different architecture. You know, I love it. So I go out there 4 to 5 times a year and, you know, oversee the menu and cooking and all that stuff. So, yeah, like I said, I can't believe that through TV appearances, cooking, restaurants, whatever, that, you know, I can pay bills and make a living by putting food in a pan and talking to people about cooking. It's amazing.
You travel a lot. I mean, you're a big traveler. I mean, how does traveling, how has that informed your work as a chef?
Yeah, my dad was in the Navy, so I've been to all 50 states and
right.
kind of around the world. And I think that that creates more of an open-minded approach to not just cooking, but living in general. So you see what people cook in different parts of the world and why they cook what they do and how food got to that part of the world. Just all those things, you know, that you can you realize food is like music and some sports where it brings everyone together regardless of beliefs or anything else.
And do you still find time to play music and stuff? You do play guitar a little bit, right?
I don't have a band, but, you know, I do record my own stuff and obviously play at home. I got my little guitar collection, but it's amazing how technology has been able to go hand in hand with it, you know, not just plugging this in or that in, but you have GarageBand on your iPad. And now my son Conrad, you know, we were speaking up with the Cleft. He loves grabbing my guitars and playing. And I've shown him, well, you can plug it into this and record that. And then you can layer on, you know, these drums, this kind of keyboard deal, this, you know, these strings. And now, like, he's all of a sudden just head over heels into music and wanting to, like, learn to play it and wants these instruments and lessons and stuff. So it's pretty awesome.
Well, last thing, and we're going to take a break here. When did you first hit Chicago? When did you first come to the city?
December of 1998. I moved out here and was looking to work for Charlie Trotter. That's why I moved out here when I got a job with him.
Yeah. And how, this is a big question in a little bit of time we have left, but how's the food scene changed here, the culinary scene?
It's amazing. And it's not just in Chicago, you know, it's the world over, just because it was the celeb chef thing that changed a lot in the last few years where, you know, everyone's kind of a rock star and they're on TV, but that's even to the wayside where it's the Instagram takeover of the world. So people go to a restaurant once, take photos, prove they were there, go to the next one down the street the next day. So it's interesting. It's not like a family run spot or even a chef driven restaurant. Everything seems very temporary. And, you know, we're even getting sucked into that where it's like, okay, now we're having to kind of reconcept and do this thing now. And it's really interesting to see how quickly it has changed.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on a Saturday night, Graham Elliott. This is a great cause, and we will see you hopefully on October 6th, World Smile Day at 2 North Riverside Plaza in Chicago.
Thanks, Graham. With our musicians.
All right.
Okay, travel safe, and we're going to be back with some live music here from the Allstate Showcase Studio, so don't go away on WGN.
Wise men say you have to learn from your mistakes, but you keep on doing the wrong thing anyway. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. You got to find you something that will. Now when you get to work and the boss is watching you, you can't sit around like you ain't got nothing to do. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. You got to find you something that will. And a boss is watching you. You can't sit around like you ain't got nothing to do. It don't work like that. It don't. can't tell a sister she's the finest thing you ever seen. It don't work like that. She gonna beat you up. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. You got to find you something that will.
That's what we're talking about. Ooh. Wayne Baker Brooks and Nick Tremulous. Thanks so much. You know, we're talking about Smile Train. We got to take a break here for the news in a little bit. But first of all, tell us about that song, Wayne, and then I want to ask you a question.
Oh, yeah, it don't work like that, man. You know, I wanted to do a traditional, you know, blues song. And I figured, you know, what kind of traditional blues song I can do? And someone said, man, if you don't play the blues, it don't work like that. So I was like, okay.
Now, we'll get into this in the next segment. But I know both you guys, and I know, Nick, you've done so much with charity and around Chicago with Ellen. And Wayne, you guys have done a lot. And I know your dad was such an ambassador. I mean, he would everywhere you go, there'd be your dad. Can you just talk about, and we'll have to get on this later too, but just the art of giving and what the musician's responsibility to share with the public.
Absolutely. Well, for me, I'm self-taught. And I look at that as a gift from God. And who am I to deny my gift to someone who's in need? That's how I look at it. It's a gift. I got it for free.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I can, you know, make people happy and, you know, have a good time and forget their world, bad times and everything just for a few hours, then, you know, I've done what I was supposed to do.
But I mean, like, just we lost your dad on April 1st, right?
Yep.
This year.
Yep.
And but I mean, even when he wasn't playing, I'd see him just hanging out at Fitzgerald's and just networking with people and being part of the community that is Chicago.
Absolutely.
That's what you
guys are. Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's what we do. Yep.
Same question for you, Nick.
Well, you know, for me, I mean, as a musician, usually we stay within our own tribe. But I mean, I don't know how many times I've paid for people's doctor bills with gigs. You know, we don't really benefit too much from a job with security or anything like that. We pay for each other's funerals and all that sort of stuff. So when something like Smile Train comes along, which is only good, there's not, I can't think of a bad, you know, there's not, but on the bad hand, you know, it's like, you know, it's a beautiful thing like that. It's just, you know, we all kind of jump to it because we're used to kind of taking care of ourselves outside of a government. And that's what this does, too. And maybe that's the most interesting stuff happens outside of things more than inside, for me at least.
This is going to be quite an event. I mean, you're going to have a lot of, what was it, 15,000 people come by that spot on a Friday night or Friday evening and stuff, commuters and stuff?
Rush hour.
Yeah.
It's attached to the Ogilvy Transportation Center. So in the evening rush hour, there's 15,000 people that come through there. So this is a free awareness event. So we want everyone to come out for it.
It's going to be great. All right, we're going to take a break with David Jennings in the news. We're going to come back with more live music, including a song from Sergio Mayorga. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal.
Sergio! Let me tell you all the story, one that ain't too far long time ago. Got a little bit of glory, but I'm just gonna call it old time picture show. And if they ever catch a slow boy in the two-bit Shangri-La they call your life, you can give them drones the finger and tell them you're gonna teach them how to celebrate the 4th of July. I says, ooh, I just want to go home now. I says, ooh, I just want to go home now. Let
Let me tell you all a story. One that ain't too far long time ago. It's got a little bit of glory, but I'm just gonna call it old time picture show. And if they ever catch a slow boy in that two-bit Shangri-La that they call your life, you can give them drones the finger. So we're gonna teach them how to celebrate the 4th of July. And I says, ooh, I just wanna go home now. I says, ooh. Laying down the law of the land, let me go on. I've been trying to tell you all now with a song. Don't you never let them know that it's just a picture show. Let me go home now. Let me go home now. Let me go home now. I don't care about your doggone process anymore. Let me go home now, Mother Nature. Let me go home now with your instigations. I don't care about your crosshairs anymore. And I says, ooh.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. That's Sergio Mayora in studio. We also have Wayne Baker Brooks, Nicholas Tremulous, and Ellen Harris. Sergio, you okay there, Serge?
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. You made it through that. Very nice.
Yeah,
tell us about that song.
That's a song I've been working on for a million years.
Yeah?
Just finished it.
Yeah?
Right now. No, just, I'm kidding. No, I finished it a while back. Yeah, it's just a song about a... It's a song, you know, it's a song about a place that had a nuclear war and there's nothing left. And then there's a bunch of people around a campfire and they're singing that song. That's what it's about.
Wow.
Wow. You've known Ellen for a long time.
Too long.
Too long. And you've been involved with charity work before with Sergio, Ellen?
Yeah. Actually, when I did the Hope Fest concerts in Another Life as a director of development for the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, which... starred Bo Diddley and had an ensemble of wonderful musicians, including Lonnie and Ronnie and Wayne and Chuck Berry, B.B. King.
That's where everybody, your name resonates with that. That was 11 years you did that, we were talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I wanted to bring that up. What did you learn from that that you're bringing to this initiative?
There's a lot of moving parts, yeah. But I could do it. You know, it's easier now that I know. It's interesting because my business is trying to make the world a better place. I think that's what I'm here for. And I was mistaken for a promoter. So people would send me their albums and CDs and stuff and say, could you, you know, hire me? And I said, well, we're in the business of doing good, so I'm not a promoter. But there's a lot of moving parts to it. And the more people you know and the more relationships you have, the easier it is to get done.
So give us the details, how people can find out more about this, a website.
Sure.
I've been saying, you know, October 6th, 4 to 7, but jump into it a little bit.
Sure. So this is great because it's the first time Smile Train, we're headquartered in New York. I'm the director for 15 cold states here in the central region, and we are doing the first big Smile Train's World Smile Day celebration in Chicago.
So this is the first one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But we're doing many around the world because we're in 85-plus countries, Smile Train. And we want to make it a very Chicago event.
Will they all be the same day then? It's called World Smile Day. Yes, so there'll be one in Mexico City, maybe. Yeah. I'm just guessing.
Yes, yeah. Different places around the world where we have programs. And actually, it's amazing because it's a holiday that already existed, but it goes wonderful with what we do, which is our goal is to give every cleft child the chance to smile. So it was started by Harvey Ball, who actually created the smiley face, and it's
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's a day that that he wants people to give back through compassion and generosity. It's a symbol of generosity. So, what better way to do it? And we're using that day as a way to build awareness for the millions of children suffering from untreated cleft around the world.
To North Riverside Plaza, will this be indoors, outdoors, rain or shine?
Outdoors, rain or shine.
Outdoors, rain or shine.
And we're going to have free food, free giveaways. We're going to have some special guests that we're not going to announce right now, but we will. And we have Wayne Baker-Brooks, Nick Tremulous, Sergio Mayora, Billy Branch, Nellie Tiger Travis, and Rich Jones, all donating their time to help out.
Is it free and open to the public?
It's a free event, and Two Riverside Plaza was donated to us. So through Donna Sue Van Cleef from JAM and Elena Sotomayor from CMN, everyone is donating. Guitar Center for the Backline, everything's being donated. So it's really, really a Chicago community event that we're so proud to be a part of.
It is. We touched on it. But Wayne, I mean, I want to talk about family and community. That's what this is all about. I mean, and that's part of what your whole thing was. I mean, you started playing with your dad when you were like 6 or 7, like playing on pots and pans. And
He would have me on the pots and pans with, you know, spoons and knives and holding a beat for him while he's writing a song. So every now and then, Ronnie and I would chime in on words and be like, oh, yeah, I like that. Or, no, let me think of another word. But I would be on the, playing the beat, and Ronnie would be playing the bass line on the guitar. So, like a lot of those songs off of Alligator Records, the demos were made by us three.
Yeah. And you're youngest male in a family of 9?
Yes.
And do you have a sister that's a minister? Or what?
Well, yes, she's ordained.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's all this all resonates with you and your family.
Yes, absolutely. And plus my grandniece was born that way as well.
With a cleft?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So what was that journey like for you?
I was very I'm very protective of her. When I see kids like, shaming her or whatever, I'm like, leave her alone. I'm one of the first to do that.
It's interesting to hear these stories because up until talking to you guys, I would get the mailings mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. stuff in the mail. That really was my mm-hmm. only knowledge of it. So when you hear first person stories, it's really, really important to hear.
Absolutely. And I've visited a few countries that we're in. I visited Smile Train Mexico. We have a great support network in Chicago of donors, and I have an advisory council here. And we took a trip to Mexico, to Toluca, Pachuca, Mexico City. We saw surgeries on 3 to 6 month-year-old babies. And after the surgery, it's an immediate transformation. But they live in isolation, and more importantly, they have difficulty eating, breathing, speaking. Yeah. So it's life-saving. And the most interesting thing that resonated with me is in Mexico, I've also been to Argentina and New Mexico on the Navajo Nation, where we help Native children, is that they don't understand why strangers care about them, which is really profound for me.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just so incredible. They have dignified grace and gratefulness for Smile Train, and everything we do is 100% free.
Nick, it's interesting to see this global outreach. You okay, Nick?
What?
Nick's thinking about where he's going after 11 o'clock. anywhere. But it's interesting what Ellen was just saying, this global outreach and understanding of other cultures and stuff is a little bit different than some way some people are going in the United States right now. Can you just talk about, you know, learning about other cultures and traveling and hearing what people are saying and having having empathy for others?
Is what's great. This is, you know, this is the purest form of doing the right thing and for the right reasons and for children. And that's the beauty of this, that some people thought of this and did it. They didn't need to, you know, wait for somebody else to do it. This is a real proactive thing. And these are the things I like to be involved in. And almost everybody I know likes to be involved in, because you know it's happening and you know it's great. And it's great to know Ellen. She's always been on the front lines. We've always been on the front lines with her, you know? So when you get a call from Ellen or Don, you know you're going to be on the front lines of something really good.
Yeah. Okay, that's we got to take a break. I got a call from my bosses here, Nick. I'll take that call. And we'll be back after after these commercials on WGN. There you go. For our audience out on Michigan Avenue, that's Nicholas Tremulous on vocals, Wayne Breaker Brooks on guitar. Thank you so much. That was awesome. You just worked that up, huh?
Excellent.
Very, very, very good. In the time we have left, I want everybody to talk about what's coming up in your world. So, Nick, what do you got coming up?
Just some recording. I'm producing a guy named Cole Burden right now, and got a gig coming on November 10th with the bass player from the Stones, Daryl Johnson. Vince Wilburn, the executor to the Miles Davis estate, that drummer, Sean Christopher from Chaka Khan, and a bunch of other people were playing with Daryl Jones at the Promontory November 10th.
Oh, that's going to be a great show.
Yeah,
that's great.
New band.
Do you have a website or anything? Or?
No, I didn't like the way it looked, so I got rid of it. You know what? I'm kind of working my way down. I didn't like the way my Wikipedia was because someone else wrote it, so I told them to take it down, that it was inaccurate. So I'm slowly but surely phasing my myself out.
Years when did you do that 52 reads, that thing where you would subscribe? That was such a great idea.
All the museums, everybody says that's such a great idea until I tell them, yeah, write a song once a week, produce it. It was amazing to do. Drove my family a little crazy because I was constantly preoccupied.
Now, Dan Long, what he would do, you'd do a song a week and you'd subscribe for a year or something?
Yeah, a year's worth of songs, full band stuff recorded. You know, it was pretty crazy. I was sleeping, dreaming songs. The minute I'd finish one, the next one would start brewing, you know.
It's a great idea.
It was pretty crazy. It's great to live that way unless you're married to the person that lives that way.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, so, you know.
Wayne, what's coming up with you?
I have an event at Buddy Guy's Legends, the Sons and Daughters of the Blues. And it's with PCA Blue, which is a prostate cancer awareness group that I'm affiliated with as well. It'll be myself, Carlise Guy, Buddy Guy's daughter, Greg Guy, Buddy's son, Jimmy Reed's daughter, Muddy Waters' son, Willie Dixon's son.
We're doing the 18th?
Yeah, September 18th, Monday. It's a Monday. Buddy is the national spokesperson, so we're all coming together to do, like, parts, you know, shows.
Didn't his brother Phil, didn't he pass
away? He passed away of prostate cancer. Yeah, so he's a champion in helping, give awareness to the cause and everything. So doing that September 18th, and then October 6th, is the Smile Train event, and October 13th I'll be at Space.
Oh, okay.
I'm flying to LA to do San Francisco. I don't know if there's anyone listening in San Francisco, but I'll be there September 8th and 9th at Biscuits and Blues.
Oh yeah, okay.
Friday and Saturday, four shows all together. Working on a new album. Got some good stuff. Nick heard some of the stuff. I let everybody hear it. And
sounds great.
I'm looking so forward to releasing that because, for a while I was just releasing singles, because I wanted to see what the environment was with this new music industry. So now it's time to release an album because I have a lot of my fans like, come on, man, we need that album. We need the full, CD. And I'm going to give it to you.
Good. Sergio Mayora, what do you got coming up?
Playing at Phyllis's tomorrow. Phyllis is in.
Clem's been on the show in Wicker Park.
Yeah, Clem. Yeah. On the corner of Wood Street and Division. I start at 8. I do 45 minutes.
Ellen, tell us real quickly the details on World Smile Day, October 6th.
Sure. We have an outdoor celebration on World Smile Day, October 6th, to Riverside Plaza with a concert, free giveaways, food, everything, including all these wonderful artists that we had here tonight. And we hope everyone comes out to learn more about Smile Train and how they can help.
Well, thank you all for coming down tonight. Thank you, Ellen, for helping put this together.
Sure.
And we'll see you all on October 6th.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week on Nocturnal Journal.